What a good opportunity for us tonight to follow on the heels of that by asking you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 16th chapter. I primarily want to look at one verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, I want us to look at verse 15. We're going to find a word used in this verse, and to my knowledge, it's the only time it's used anywhere in the Bible. Verse 15, Paul writes to the Corinthian church and said, I beg you, brethren, and then there is a parenthesis. You know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now the parenthesis closes. That you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helps with us and labors. He actually began in verse 14 by saying, let all your things be done with charity. And we know the word charity means what?
Love.
And so having established that we are to let all of our things be done with love, he said, I want to beseech you, brethren. And remember, he says, the house of Stephanas, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Have you been thinking or have you ever thought about being addicted to ministry? The Church of the Living God ought to be addicted to ministry. And tonight, the bottom line is in this text and in what Brother John and Brother Tommy and Christina have shared with us is that if you love people, you minister to them. In your own family, if you wake up in the night, heaven forbid, and you have a spouse or a child that's sick, you don't say, well, try to go back to bed, maybe things will be better in the morning. You make yourself available to find out what is the level of their sickness, what is the severity of their need, and what can I do to help with that. If it's a very severe need, you say that, you make that statement that no one wants to hear made, we got to get you to the hospital regardless of what time of the night it is. If you love people, you minister to them. When you minister to somebody, you're doing your best to meet the need at hand. Now, I want you to notice several things about the verse 15 that we've looked at. First of all, when he makes the statement that they have addicted themselves to the ministry, I want you to look with me at the word addicted. That word, by definition, means devoted. It means that they have arranged or they have set in order. So the first thing I want us to note about people who are addicted to ministry, they are a devoted people. You're devoted to it because it's important. You're devoted to it because God puts a premium on it. You're devoted to it because of the people that you minister to. You're devoted to it because you are the one that is most blessed. You who minister, we are always more blessed to be ministering than we are to be ministered to. So the first thing we note is they were devoted. Churches can get to the place that we lose a heart for what we do. We don't mean to do that. That's most always not an intentional thing, but it's easy. And it seems like the more involved you are, the easier it can be at times to go through seasons where your passion wanes. Your devotion is not what it ought to be. I often think back to the early days of ministry, and I would remind Brother John and Brother David of that. Brother Nipper is still in some of the early days of his ministry. But when we first started, we were young or younger, and we were naive. And everything you did was new for the first time. And there was an excitement upon that. And you remember when you got to do some things growing up as a child for the first time. Maybe the first time you got on the bicycle. Or the first time that your mother or dad one had an epiphany of the appearance of the Lord and said, well, honey, be careful, but I'll let you climb that tree that you've always wanted to climb. And boy, was that exciting. They let you do something you'd not done before. But you know what we all learn? After I climbed that tree 300 times, it wasn't as exciting as it was the first time. And so today I don't climb trees. It just don't kind of whip me up and get me excited anymore. And folks, if you aren't careful, after 300 opportunities to minister, if you aren't careful, your heart will tell your head, or your head will try to tell your heart that this, well, I've done that before. And you get to the place of one I mentioned this morning that was close to me who said, you know, I've kind of retired from that now. And folks, you can't afford to do that. You have to be devoted. And as long as God will give you the physical ability to do any particular ministry, you are of all people most blessed. And so they were devoted. They felt a sense of addiction. They had set in order their lives to be available to do just that. So they were a devoted people. But I want you to notice that they also were people who took an initiative, because the text of Scripture says not only that they have addicted, but it says they had addicted themselves. Now, when it says they addicted themselves, they mean that it did not happen because of an influence out here being fostered upon them. It happened because of an influence inside. They really had an initiative in their hearts to do it. You know, sometimes we don't look upon people and their needs as though we've ever had any of our own. And one of the things that helps you relate to people, or should, is when you also walk down that path. You know what I've noticed about people who've had cancer or who have cancer? People who have been there are the first ones able to identify and help people who are now going through an experience that they went through 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years ago. Folks, as we go through the experiences of the Christian life, as we go through times of need, imagine for a moment, to use this ministry that's been shared with us tonight, imagine for a moment that you are no longer at home and all the faces you see are unfamiliar faces. And you don't know where is a good place to buy your gasoline, or someone to work on your vehicle, or where is a good place that has supplies of so-and-so that you like to use a lot. Or you see places and I wonder who has the best bargain on that, or who has the best quality of whatever you're looking for. Can you imagine being in such a place? I often think when I am on the phone with people, I've called a particular company. It might be insurance. It might be something else. Or I have, on much more rare occasions, gone into a store and the person said, "May I help you?" And I realized immediately, this person's English is so broken, I'm not for sure I can communicate with them. Now, it frustrates some of us. My wife teases and says, "Honey, if they didn't grow up in South Georgia, you can't understand them." Well, I grew up in North Georgia, and we had our own dialect. That's the reason that was the case. But can you imagine all of a sudden in the morning you don't get up in Valdosta, you're in another part of the world, and the people don't look like you, and they don't talk like you, their language is not like yours, no surroundings are familiar. Now, folks, if there's ever been a fertile time and a fertile soil to do ministry, that is a marvelous place to do ministry. Because, you know, regardless of where you are, you would like to think that somebody is your buddy, or somebody knows you well enough that if you were to awaken in the night, big time sick, you have somebody you could call on. I never want to see anybody at the hospital by themselves unless they're doing good. I just don't like to see that. I want somebody with somebody. They might need something, and face it, in the finest hospital in the land, they can't take you to raise. They're looking after medical issues, and they must be at their task, and they've got other people up and down the hall to be caring for. You need a family member or somebody that's like family who will care for your needs. So they were devoted, but they also had initiative. It is not the military family's place to say, "Hey, can y'all do something for us?" It is our place as God's New Testament church to say, "Hey, we thank you for your service. We're glad you're in this community. Can you think of anything? You may have some needs that I really can't meet that need, but can you think of anything that I might be able to do for you?" Now, folks, that's taking the initiative.
"Well, man, if they needed something, they ought to have said so."
That's not the way that works in the Christian economy. It's our place to take the initiative. So they were devoted. They took initiative. But notice what the text says. They have addicted themselves to the ministry. Word ministry, you know, another word for that is service. So the third thing we see is they were service-minded. I don't mind doing something for you. That's what it means to the ministry. It means I'm willing to be involved. Now, in this life, folks, because we are basically an affluent society, people many times feel, well, I'll give you $20. I'll give you $50, but I ain't got time to fool with you. Folks, people in need need God's people willing to fool with them. Let me tell you why. The $20 may be appreciated. The $50 may be appreciated. We would hope would be appreciated. But the $50 bill doesn't show Jesus. There's somebody else's picture on there. And it doesn't share the gospel. But when we get involved to do, we become the epistles, the letters, with the proper spirit to do what needs to be done. And I don't know if you've ever really been hurt or if you've ever really been sick or you've ever really been in need. When somebody comes to deal with your hurt, your sickness, and your need, it is no different than an angel being sent from heaven in that moment. And so we find that they were service-minded. They wanted to be involved in ministry. I'm not minimizing the giving of tangible gifts at all, but may it never be said I had rather pay somebody to do something rather than me get involved with it. Folks, it helps us to get our hands dirty. It helps us to deal one-on-one. I don't want to be grotesque with this. But when somebody is really sick and they've got all kind of bodily functions that's messed up, it does us good occasion to be involved with that because it reminds us that but for the grace of God, that'd be us and we'd want somebody to help us. I was nurtured by parents just like you was, at least like I hope you were. I never remember time as a child when I was nauseated and having to upchuck that my mother didn't have a bucket and hold my head and a cold rag on my forehead while I'm having to go through that awful experience. I remember as a young adult the first time I was no longer around her and there wasn't no mama there. While I'm going through that experience, you know what went through my mind? My sweet old mama. It wouldn't have killed me to have done that as a child by myself, but she was there with hands on. Folks, ministry means I'm devoted to it, I'm taking an initiative, I'm service-minded, I'm going to have a hands-on in this. You're going to put, to use another phrase, you're going to put some real skin in the game. Exposure to what's needful. You know, occasionally when we go out and do these blitz and door hanging of various whatever the function is and go into homes or try to knock on doors. You go into places that don't look exactly like where you live. You go into places that's unkept. The grass is not cut. There's rotten boards on the house and it doesn't look like it's had a good cleaning in a long time. Folks, it does us good, and we ought to be forced to go into some homes that's far less than what we live in, that's kind of dirty and stinky, to remind you that you are privileged of the Lord God. Folks, we don't have what we have because we're smart. And heaven forbid that we think we have what we have just because we are industrious. We have what we have because God has given us healthy bodies and minds to think and abilities to do and judgment enough to take advantage of our investment of time, the paychecks we get in order to derive something that we might possess as a good steward of what He shares with us. And everybody doesn't see that like you do. Folks, some people live in squalor. And we must remember that those people are going to die and either go to heaven or die and go to hell. And their greatest need is not a clean home. Their greatest need is a clean heart. And you know what happens? When God begins to work in a heart, it's amazing what happens to the outside part of their body and what happens to the surrounding where they live. It's amazing what happens on the outside of people when God begins to do something on the inside of people. Folks, it's quiet in here for a reason. And we need God doing work, and we need we as his servants to be service-minded. Now, notice what the text says, one more thing. They addicted, that's they were devoted, themselves, that's the initiative, to the ministry, that's their service-mindedness, of the saints, they were people-oriented. Now listen. I'm going to repeat something I said in the message this morning. God does not personally need one thing Wayne Robertson can do. Not one. He doesn't need my tithe. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the gold in the hills. He doesn't need my tithe. I need to give it. God does not need any sermon I can preach or any song I can sing. There's already, in my estimation, music in the place called heaven. And there's more Word of God there. The living Word is there. And He knows more about it than I'll ever know. He doesn't need any of this. But He said, if you want to really give it to me, you give it to the least of these, my brethren. Because when you give it to the least of these, my brethren, you're doing it to me. And the reason He puts pastors where He puts pastors, and the reason He puts you where He puts you, is that they're this thing called people, or these things called people, and they need ministry. And so they are people-oriented. Notice, or let me just share with you that in Colossians, we find these words, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Folks, the ministry you have and I have didn't come from our decision. It came from God's decision. Spiritual gifts were sovereignly given by God to those He saved. And every saved person at the moment of salvation was given a spiritual gift. Now, I'm not talking about talents and abilities. God gave those by virtue of the physical birth. Because lost people have talents and abilities just like saved people. But lost people don't have spiritual gifts. Only saved people have spiritual gifts. And God gave those. And He said, I want you to take heed that you, that which you received of the Lord, that gift that you received from the Lord, that you fulfill it. God's given you a gift. With that gift is a purpose. There's something He wants you to accomplish. He has equipped you for that good work. Now see to it that you fulfill it. You know, folks, if they were addicted, let me conclude tonight by giving you this. There may be more, but I think of three primary characteristics of drug addiction, and these may very well hold true for ministry addiction. First of all, there is a habitual, overpowering desire to do it. They tell us that people who are on the basic drug known as alcohol, and on even stronger drugs like cocaine and crack and all that other stuff that's out there, that these people have an overwhelming and overpowering desire habitually to do that. If we are addicted to ministry, there ought to be this overwhelming desire to show a person a sermon in action. Folks, a sermon preached is rather worthless unless it's put into some type of action, whether that's my life or yours. Secondly, when there's drug addiction, there's a growing tolerance so that in order to maintain the desired effect, larger doses must be taken. And it ought not be that we involved in a little ministry and dust off our hands and say, well, I've had all that I need for a while. It ought to be, my, what a difference that ministry made in that person's heart. Lord, would you begin to bring somebody else into my life that I can minister to like that in your name? Because I need to do that. That's what you've equipped me for. I have a desire to do that, and I want to do more of it. You know, folks, when you have a hunger and thirst for the things of God, only doing what God has placed you here to do brings a sense of fulfillment. There's a third mark of a drug addiction. There's such a dependence on it that the person has to have it to function. Did you ever see a person? I had people, I'd not been your pastor, but just a very few months, nothing like a year. And some of our members said, we know some people who've been neighbors and they've been in the drug culture. And they want to talk to a pastor. Would you talk to them? I said, well, of course. So we set up an appointment. I met them one night and sat over in my office in the other building. And, of course, while we're there, he pulls up his shirt sleeves, and I'm telling you, he had had more needle injections than you could shake a stick at. And while he's there, and I knew then he didn't have the palsy. You know what he was having? Withdrawals. You see, he had a dependence on it, and he needed a little shot of it just to calm him down so he could function. Folks, if you're a workaholic, I said, if you're a workaholic, and that's not a noble thing to be a workaholic. Workaholics are compelled to work for work's sake. They really think they were born and placed on the planet just to work, and that's not true at all. We're put on the planet to glorify God, and He has chosen a work for us to do, but a workaholic just has to always be at work for work's sake. If you're addicted to ministry, you're compelled to minister for love's sake. That's the difference in being a workaholic and being addicted to ministry. Epaphroditus is mentioned in the book of Philippians chapter 2. And it makes a statement about him I want to share with you. It said, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Now, Paul made a statement about Epaphroditus that he had gone the extra mile, he had worked extra, and when he makes the statement to supply your lack of service, he's talking about how that the church at that point had not had an opportunity, and he took up the slack. Now, folks, if you've worked very long doing anything, there have been some times you had to take up some slack, but you can't live in a work environment forever taking up the slack of somebody else and doing your job and theirs. I remember years ago when I saw this sign and it made an impression upon me. Lack of preparation on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. I'm thinking, touche, buddy, you got that right. But Epaphroditus knew that the work of God was very important. And the people of God had not had an opportunity to do what to serve Paul like he needed. And he saw a great need and he just took up the slack and he worked extra to do that. Are we addicted to ministry? And here's the way we answer that. Well, am I devoted? Do I take the initiative? Or is somebody constantly pushing and pulling on me? Jesus talked about that there would be springs of living water like a river flowing through the life of the people of God. Folks, one of the qualities of a river is you don't have to push it. And there's not much a river of living water flowing through the heart of the child of God who has to be pushed. Pushed to be on time, pushed to do their job, pushed to fulfill it. Folks, I would think, at least that's what I was taught at home. Then I went to work, and I was taught that at all my jobs. If we're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock, we're going to get there no later than 5 minutes till. Is it a crime to be five after? Only if that seems to be the norm. That means you've got a character problem. It means you don't see the importance of it. Well, my daddy would have told me what for if he had learned that I was 5 minutes after 8 getting to my job when that plumber wanted me there at 8 o'clock every day. Son, what are you thinking? You be on time. Folks, it don't take a lot of talent to be on time. It Are we all late once in a while? Well, sure, when the car won't crank and the tire's flat, yeah. There's nothing sacred so you can put out your chest and say, I've never been late. I doubt that seriously. But it ought to be said that that's not the norm. We don't have to teach as good as somebody else. In fact, we can't be somebody else, but we ought to be the best we can be. You don't have to sing like anybody else, but when you're singing congregationally, sing the best you can sing. Because who are we doing this unto? The Lord Jesus. And then when we do ministry, we are doing it to the people of God, but we're doing it for the glory of, what's his name again? The Lord Jesus. And so, am I addicted to ministry? Well, am I devoted? Do I take the initiative? Here's how you know if you take the initiative. You have this little spurt of, I'm there every time. And then there's some different spurts, and you don't see them for a while. They go to visitation for a few weeks, then, boy, hadn't seen them in several weeks. Well, folks, it ought to be said, sincerely of all of us, if that's the case, they truly have some type of providential, that is divine, made by God, interruption, or they're sick. It ought just not be that I don't show up for visitation, nobody knows why, where is he at. In fact, you know, there's probably not anybody in this room that would take that very well. You know, Brother Wayne just got to where he doesn't come to visitation anymore. Would you think that might be a problem? Be honest. I said, you can be honest. Would that be a problem? You're gun-shy, aren't you? You know why you're gun-shy? Because I'm going to ask you the next question. Well, then why is it not a problem if you're not where you belong? Are you living by a double standard? I hate to tell you this. There is not one in Scripture. Now, there are duties for a pastor, but there are not any duties that ought not be there for the child of God. And addicted to ministry is not consigned to elders. It's not assigned to deacons. It's not assigned to some church title. It's given to the people of God. We should be a devoted people. We should be a people who are motivated by our own initiative, and our own initiative is made what it is when we consider what the choir was singing a moment ago. Folks, it's almost over. We are going home. Do you really want it to be over? And do you really want to go to the eternal home when you just gave God, well, as long as this, you know, this interfering with my golf game, I'm a fishing trip, this interfering. Do you really want to face God that way? Aren't you glad when one day he needed to walk the Via Della Rosa, he didn't just say, Father, time out on the field, please. This is interrupting something else I had planned. So the question is, if I am addicted to ministry, do I keep an initiative in my heart because, hey, you don't understand something. The Son of God brought me forgiveness and took away the penalty of my sin and has brought a measure of joy to my soul I did not know when I did not know him. And there's not anything, if I have the capacity to do it, that's too great for me to do if the Lord wants me to do it. Well, if I'm addicted to ministry, am I really service-minded? I had a man say, Brother John, I served as Sunday school superintendent for a number of years before the Lord called me to preach. And I had a man, I talked to my pastor, of course. I got pastor's clearance. I said, you know, we'd have visitation. It'd be the pastor and me. Sometimes a third person, but just two of us. And that's church-wide visitation. It'd just be the two of us. And I said, do you care? I said, now, you know, you're the pastor. Do you care if I say something to our teachers about that? He said, no, not really. So I went and talked to him about it. And here's the answer I got from one of the pillars in the assembly. I found out was a caterpillar. He said, well, you don't understand. I major on teaching. I really don't visit. I major on teaching. Folks, that is so arrogant. You can smell that stench all the way to heaven. I'm such a great teacher. That's the way that translates. I'm just such a great teacher. that I made your own share. Folks, if you are not service-minded, all you're majoring on is building your kingdom and not his, because his kingdom requires our service, which leads me to ask this question. If I'm addicted to ministry, am I people-oriented? See, this guy wasn't people-oriented. He was oriented for the glory of himself. I major on teaching. Folks, I had less tact then as a layman than I do now. Am I really people-oriented? You know what's interesting? Jesus didn't die for nothing but people. Just people. Even though, and I'm not being tacky and I'm not being critical, I'm just making this because it's something current. Even though we put in our obituaries that we're survived by our kitties and puppies, listen carefully, don't lose me. He didn't die for them. He died only for people. He only calls us to serve people. And when we serve people, we are serving people for him. And I know I'm talking to some of the greatest people I know who love and serve folks. But folks, it's not the mass I want to speak to tonight. I want the Lord to speak to this heart as an individual, and I want him to speak to yours. Because face it, folks, if, for instance, as an example, if everybody in this room scores a 100, a perfect score with God on your addiction to ministry, and I don't, guess what's needed tonight? I need something. If everybody else in the room except you scores 100 and that's not where you are, then your life is not what it ought to be. And God's not getting the glory through you that he needs to get. They were addicted to ministry. I'll be the first to tell you, folks, I get tired in what I do. My old recovery time, for some reason, not the same as it was 34 years ago. I don't know what the deal is on that. I don't know where Beth has worn me out or y'all have. I don't know what that is. But surely it's not that my capacity's gotten any less. And, of course, if you're visiting, I'm just being goofy, and you know that. But I want to tell you something. As long as he gives us breath, as long as our minds will function and our bodies will work, whatever we are capable of doing, we want to serve him until he calls us home. Because, folks, who among us, will it be Brother Wayne? Will it be one of our youngest of children? Will it be some of the older saints here? Who will be the next one we will announce has gone to see Jesus and it's over and they've gone home? I don't want to go home and face my Lord if I'm not addicted to ministry. If I'm devoted to him, I'll be devoted to ministering to others. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, on this Lord's Day evening, you have shared with us through Brother John and Tommy and Christina that we have maybe numerous aspects of ministry in this community, but one of those would be the military. Maybe others would be first responders. Lord, we don't even know, but we do know this. We want to be as available as we know how to be. We want to do whatever you would show us needs to be done with the gifts and abilities and resources that you have gifted us with. Because we understand that just to come and do church work inside the walls, while it has a place, the real work of the church is to go minister to people. I pray, Lord, now for these people that need ministry, wherever they are, whoever they are, whether they are civilian or military or whatever. Lord, you have a people in this community that needs ministry. And we remember the haunting words of a song that's where you have spoken that my house is full, but my fields are empty. May tonight it not be said that this house of worship is full, and that the field is empty. May it be said that this is a house full of folks whose hearts are filled with gratitude and who make themselves available in the field to do the work that you've called and gifted for us to do. Now, Lord, begin even now to lay on our hearts people, needs, and issues that you could use us to make a difference in. Bless these moments of commitment and continue to carry this through to fruition to the end that your great name will be honored as we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with your pastor? Brother David is here to lead us in our hymn of commitment.